Hello and welcome. Yes, welcome to Madrid en Inglés. Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our region, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, Richard Vaughn, using Madrid as our base of operations. Let's go. Hello and good morning and welcome. Yes, welcome to a new edition of Madrid en Inglés. Madrid in English, Madrid. Yes, sir. My name is Richard Vaughn. I'm an English teacher and this is my third program, I believe, talking to you about the city of Madrid, the region of Madrid, and about English as well. Talking about perhaps everything. But as I said in my previous two programs, I'm going to use Madrid as my base of operations, mi base de operaciones. Teaching English, but at the same time using Madrid as a pretext. But more than a pretext, más que un pretexto, I'm going to talk a lot about Madrid. I'm going to use it as a subject because I have spent the past 50 years living in Madrid. In fact, my first contact with Madrid was in late July or early August. Finales de julio, primeros de agosto. Late July or early August, 1972. But my contact permanently with Madrid, finally, as a permanent resident, was in, again, late July or early August of 1974. However, within 3 weeks of arriving in Madrid in 1974, I was sent to teach English in La Central Nuclear de Sorita, in the province of Guadalajara, Comarca de Alcarria. And there I lived for 10 months, first in Almonacid de Sorita, with a family. I rented a room with a family in the village. It's a village of 700 people. And I commuted to the nuclear plant every day, every morning, to teach English. Then, starting in the following January, 1975, I moved into the La Residencia de la Central para Empleados Solteros. And there I lived until June. So I spent 10 months in Guadalajara. But I came back. I took a vacation to Asturias. And then in mid-July or late July, so mediados de julio, últimos de julio, mid-July or late July 1975, I established myself in Madrid. I settled here and I began teaching English. Until today, cadena perpetua, all my life, a life sentence, teaching English in Madrid. And so next year, in July 2025, I will celebrate my golden anniversary of living and working permanently in Madrid. It wasn't my idea. Initially, I didn't initially have the idea of staying the rest of my life in Madrid. But I started working and I was successful. People enjoyed my classes and benefited from my teaching. And I found that I had more demand than I could handle, so I needed an additional teacher. And now I have more than 400 teachers. So it's from one teacher, myself, to 400 over a period of almost 50 years. But I'll come back to this moment in 1975 when I returned from my holidays in Asturias. And I'll come to these subjects later. For now, I want to continue where I left off last week. Quiero continuar donde lo dejé la semana pasada. Fíjense, fijaos cómo lo digo. I want to continue where I left off last week. And I left off last week on in la calle, bueno, calle no, el paseo del pintor Rosales. Rosales, a very nice street in Madrid. I was living there with three other students from Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas. And we were attending a program sponsored by the university in Dallas. However, we were using facilities that were part of the Universidad Complutense de Madrid, el Instituto de Cultura Hispánica, located between the Fundación Jiménez Díaz, Hospital de la Concepción, and the Casa de América. And every day in the morning, I walked 25 minutes from Rosales Street to the Instituto de Cultura Hispánica to receive my classes. But it really wasn't 25 minutes because I always stopped along the way to have a café con churros. And so I immediately gained a liking for the coffee with milk and the churros. So it probably took me about 35 minutes in all. Para decir en inglés, en total, solemos decir in all, o sea, en todo, in all, in all. Es correcto en total, pero se dice muy poco, in all. So it took me about 35 minutes in all because I spent 10 minutes in a bar having a cup of coffee with churros and fighting against the weather, against the rain, because as I told you last week, the September and October 1972 were the wettest 2 months in Spanish, well, in the history of precipitation in Spain since the mid-19th century when they started measuring or registering the amount of precipitation. It rained every day, I remember. In fact, it rained more during those 2 months than it has ever rained in a full year in Spain. So it was a very rainy period. But despite that, a pesar de eso, despite that, o bien, también puedo decir, in spite of that, I enjoyed my first semester in Spain, 1972. It was the time of the Olympics in Munich with the terrorist attempt, I remember, in September 1972. And I spent that semester becoming acquainted with Madrid. Living on Rosales was very nice, un piso interior, ojo. So I didn't have a beautiful view of the Parque del Oeste. But I spent a lot of time, well, a lot, no, I spent some time walking or running through the Parque del Oeste, the West Park, because I was a good athlete. I was a runner. I was the Oklahoma champion in the 400 meters. And in Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, at the university level, I set the record for intramural in the 200 meters, 21.5 seconds. And I won the Campeonato de Institutos de Oklahoma in the 400 meters in 48.4. All right, 48.4. So living on Rosales Street, I had, of course, El Parque del Oeste in frente, right across the street, opposite my building. So I spent a lot of time jogging and running in that park. They had the teleférico that I could take to the Casa de Campo. I only used it once, but I managed to see practically everything, the Rose Garden, the Plantas de Rosales, the Rosal, Jardín de Rosas, the Rose Garden, and also the pillboxes. Pillbox is the word we use for los bunkers. Bunker militar. Because as you remember, after the Batalla de Brunete, the nationalist forces marched on Madrid, and they marched into the La Ciudad Universitaria, the Complutense, and also towards the Parque del Oeste. And you can, if you go to the Parque del Oeste, you can find two or three pillboxes that are still there, indicative of that moment of the history of Madrid. But those days I spent doing, well, studying, of course, doing my homework, attending classes, having lunch almost every day in a restaurant del menú del día. That's a Spanish institution. Era más en aquel entonces que hoy en día, una institución española. El menú del día, yes. And normally I had lunch every day in the same place. Risol. Risol, como suena, R-I-S-O-L, located on Calle Altamirano. And why in that restaurant? Well, because just opposite that restaurant was the apartment of some girls who were also students on the same program. And so we always spent some time with those girls, and we started eating in that restaurant. And it was good and very cheap. It was very cheap on Calle Altamirano. And every day, almost every day, I ate there. And the menu of the day, menú del día, the menu of the day was 35 pesetas. 35 pesetas, which in euros is 21 centimos, 21 cents. So it's incredible. 21 centimos. That's interesting. I mean, if we ask, how much would that be today? I really do, with inflation. I mean, we can ask. I'm going to open up ChatGPT. Just a second. Let's see if I can open it up. ChatGPT. And ask it. Let's see. The artificial intelligence. I'm going to use artificial intelligence for a moment. How much? Let's see. How much would 21... I'm going to say it in Spanish. Okay. ¿Cuánto? Okay, let's see. ¿Cuánto sería? ¿Cuánto serían? Serían 21 céntimos. Céntimos. De 1972. Otoño. In the fall of 1972. Hoy. En España. All right. ¿Cuántos serían 25 hoy en España? Maybe we can find out. Okay, para calcular el valor actual de 21 céntimos, etc., etc., a ver si... ChatGPT gives a long, long... Okay, so today it would be... How much? No me da. Por tanto, 21 céntimos, el que vendría en 1,35 euros. Un euro 35. So, I'm not sure if I agree with ChatGPT, because today, a menu of the day usually costs 12 euros. 10 euros at the cheapest, maybe 12 euros, 15 euros. But at that time, it was 21 cents, 35 pesetas. And I remember I spent a lot of days in Risol having lunch. And there were two waiters, Jose and Vicente. Both of them were very young. Jose was probably 20 years old, and Vicente was probably 17. I mean, I remember Vicente was from Cifuentes in the province of Guadalajara. But I don't remember. Jose was very serious. And Vicente was very humorous or very funny at times. And I remember showing Jose a $1 bill. Un billete de un dólar. Se lo enseñé al camarero, a Jose. I showed him a $1 bill. And he looked at it. Y te ponía la palabra one. Y él lo mira y said, one. Y yo le dije, no, one, no, one. Me dice, pero dice one. Y me di cuenta. For the first time in my life, I realized it, claro. He's reading it phonetically. Yeah, the number one in English, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, se escribe one, O-N-E. And so he didn't, I thought it was strange that he said one. But of course, it's logical that he would say one. In fact, but you know, I probably ate in Risol 4 times a week for 20 weeks, you know, or more. So it's about 80 times. And the cooks were good. I remember the kitchen had about 5 young ladies working in the kitchen. And the food was good. So it was good for my health, you know, eating a balanced diet. First course, second course, dessert and coffee. First course. Se dice para curso, para primer plato, segundo plato. Postre y café. Se dice course, como un English course, o como campo de golf, golf course. We say the first course, second course, third course, etc. And so I, part of my adaptation to Madrid was the adaptation to the gastronomy. But you see, I adapted instantly. I mean, from day one, I don't know. It's interesting that some people have trouble adapting to a different culture, to a different climate. Some people simply have trouble adapting to things. All my life, I have never had trouble ever adapting instantly to a different environment, different entorno. And that, I remember when I got to Madrid, the very first day, hey, let's go walk around Madrid and check it out and things. But at that time, this was 1972, September, October, November, December 1972. And the political regime, of course, was the Franco regime. En inglés se dice regime a lo francés, regime, regimen. Sí se dice regimen. También se dice la palabra regimen en inglés, pero significa un régimen de ejercicio, de dieta, etc. That's a regimen. When we talk un régimen dictatorial o un régimen político, we say regime. Será una adopción del francés, regime. We say the Franco regime. And at that time, these were the final years, the last 3 years of the Franco regime. And the political situation, at least for most people didn't pay attention to the possible tensions that were starting to come to the surface concerning politics. And me, I was only 20 years old, and I wasn't really paying attention to this. I was having too much fun getting used to Madrid, acostumbrándome a Madrid, getting used to Madrid. I found the food was good. This was my first contact with aceite de oliva, olive oil. In the United States, the cooking oil was usually animal fat, grasa animal, or vegetable oil, aceite vegetal, pero no de aceite de oliva. And so, but it was good. I didn't have any trouble. I didn't have any, let's say, digestive problems at all. And my Spanish was good enough to get by. I could get by with my Spanish if somebody was speaking directly to me. If I was watching it on TV, or if I was trying to understand a conversation between other people, I often didn't understand. I remember one time, I remember one of probably my first Spanish friend, Nacho, Ignacio Álvarez Vara, he was a professor in the in my school, and so he was my professor for lengua española. And I remember once in a bar when we had a coffee together, and when we finished the coffee, he said to the bartender, ¿Qué le debo? And I said, Nacho, ¿qué has dicho? Bueno, ¿cuánto es? No, no, has dicho otra cosa. Bueno, has dicho, ¿qué le debo? ¿Qué le debo? What do I owe you? Anda, o sea, no dices cuánto cuesta. Bueno, también se puede decir cuánto es. cuánto cuesta, pero he dicho que le debo. Así se aprenden los idiomas cuando ya vives in situ, cuando ya vives en el país donde se habla. That's, you start paying attention to these little things that the grammar books or the language learning books don't teach. And so it's, and I'll tell you more when I come back after the break. I'm going to take a short break right now, una pausa momentánea, but I'll be right back with more about Madrid.
¿No sería bonito heredar un mundo lleno de oportunidades? Haz tu testamento solidario a favor de Cruz Roja para dejar un mundo más justo. Transforma tu compromiso en educación, empleo, compañía. Infórmate en testamentosolidario.cruzrojamadrid.com o en el 666-454304. Cruz Roja. Testamento solidario.
¿Necesitas guardar tus muebles en espera de nueva vivienda o reforma? Confía en Estebaranz. Llevamos los contenedores a tu casa para una mínima manipulación. Mudanzas y guardamuebles Estebaranz. Desde siempre a tu lado.
Destacar en el mercado inmobiliario de Madrid puede ser un reto. Conseguirlo es nuestro objetivo. Legido Gestión Inmobiliaria. Agencia especializada en venta y alquiler de vivienda a través del home staging. Una técnica de estilismo y decoración para que el cliente sienta lo que necesita. Una vivienda adaptada a sus necesidades. Le esperamos en legidoinmobiliaria.com. Convertimos cada casa en un hogar único.
Revive la emoción de la competición en Onda Madrid, donde cada domingo se apagan las luces del semáforo para trasladarnos todo lo sucedido en el Mundial de Fórmula 1.
MotoGP, rallies y Mundo Motorsport. La mejor fórmula para estar al tanto de todas las carreras, la previa, entrevistas y las curiosidades.
Una cita ineludible para amantes de la competición, donde periodistas, ingenieros y pilotos analizan en un mismo box toda la actualidad.
Te esperamos cada domingo de 12 a 2 de la madrugada con Juanma Fernández y todo su equipo.
Para que estés siempre en la pole position de la información del motor de competición.
Aquí, en Onda Madrid.
Chinchón, con su icónica plaza, escenario de grandes películas de la historia, el túnel de Zacatín bajo la singular Plaza Mayor de Colmenar de Oreja, el Museo de Cine de Villarejo de Salvanés, el impresionante Palacio de Goyeneche de Nuevo Baztán, primer proyecto urbanístico...
Imposible contarte en tan poco tiempo todo lo que puedes descubrir en las villas de Madrid. El mejor estilo de vida del mundo. Comunidad de Madrid.
El mejor restaurante que puedas imaginar es tu casa. Y para que así sea, el Asador Villaranda es tu fiel aliado. Asados en horno de leña al estilo segoviano. Llévatelo a casa y guarda nuestro secreto.
¿Eres propietario de una segunda vivienda? Ahora con el plan Alquila de la Comunidad de Madrid puedes maximizar tus ingresos y asegurar tu propiedad con toda tranquilidad. Asistencia especializada, asesoría jurídica, beneficios fiscales y seguro de impago gratuito hasta 3 años. Plan Alquila. Tu vivienda en buenas manos. Infórmate, Comunidad de Madrid.
Onda Madrid, 101.3 y 106 FM.
Hello and welcome back. Yes, let's continue, shall we? I was talking about eating. In Madrid, I was talking about my adaptation during the first months that I was in Madrid. And it was, as I said, it was a very rainy period. It was raining all the time. But that didn't really bother me. I was enjoying my flat. I was enjoying the Parque del Oeste. I was enjoying my cafés con churros. I was enjoying Risol and los menús del día. And I was having fun with some of the girls and guys, the classmates that we had. And I was traveling a lot. And I was improving my Spanish. I was using Spanish a lot. I remember I had a pocket dictionary. Diccionario de bolsillo. A pocket dictionary. Of course, in 1972, we didn't have cell phones. No había móviles. And I remember walking in the street with Nacho, with this professor. And I was looking in my dictionary and I said, Nacho, hay una palabra que He oído un par de veces o tres que no viene del diccionario. I said, there's a word I can't find in the dictionary. I've heard it two or three times. And Nacho said to me, bueno, what word is that? No sé. ¿Por qué no viene? No sé. And he says, well, ¿cómo suena? ¿Cómo es? And he said, no sé, es palante, palante. Y no viene palante. Of course, Nacho began to laugh. He said, no, hombre, no es palante, es para adelante. He says it's very common in Spain. He said, tira pa'lante, tira pa'lante, tira para adelante. All right. So I learned that Spanish people make contractions. También hacen contracciones como los, pero sin apóstrofes, como nosotros, o apóstrofos. Okay. And so, pero es una contracción como un piano, Para adelante are six syllables. Pa'lante are only three syllables. Okay. And then I, of course, I learned from Nacho to say, ¿qué le debo? ¿Qué le debo? And I learned pa'lante or tira pa'lante. And I also learned how to say, see you later. Because I asked Nacho, I said, Nacho, what's that strange sound people make when they say goodbye? And Nacho said, strange sound. ¿Qué sonido extraño? Sí, hacéis un sonido extraño al despediros que no acabo de entender. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. A strange sound? Yeah. What? How does it go? ¿Cómo va? ¿Cómo es? How does it go? I don't know. And finally says, creo que estás diciendo hasta luego. Said, hasta luego. No, it's hasta luego. Ah, it's, yes. He said, yes. People in general in Madrid or in Spain don't say hasta luego. They say, hasta luego. Of course, it's very difficult to understand. And that is typical when you travel to when you go to a different country with a different language. If you have studied the language, even if you studied the language for 6 years, like my case, when you arrive in the country, you need a fairly long period of aural adaptation, adaptación auditiva, to understand how people use the language. I remember asking him another, says, ¿qué significa basa? And Nacho says, basa. No significa nada. I said, come on, he oído basa mil veces. And he says, no. He says, there isn't a word in Spanish called basa. I said, well, I've heard it many, many times. Just a few minutes ago, you said, ¿cuándo vas a ir? ¿Cuándo vas a ir? Ah, eso no es basa, eso es ¿cuándo vas a ir? When are you going to go? Yes. Te lo vas a decir. Basa. Of course, that's what you call conectividad silábica. Connectivity. We connect words. And sometimes we make contractions like palante. Now, cuando vas a ir, of course, nobody says cuando vas a ir. Everybody says cuando vas a ir. Cuando vas a ir. Basa, basa, basa. But for a foreigner, they hear basa. And so they are not sure. They're not sure what it means. And so it's interesting that when you don't understand, for example, in your case, if your English is not perfect yet, probably you will have trouble understanding people sometimes. But if I show you in writing what these people are saying, you would probably understand 90% or more. However, apelo no, when you're listening to people speak, you understand maybe 30 or 40%. So the problem is when you don't understand is you're not discriminating sounds. You don't realize that basa is basa, or palante is para adelante, or dolo is hasta luego. You're not discriminating sounds, because if you see them in writing, you understand. For example, if you watch a television show, a television series in English, you say, me he enterado de la mitad. O palabras sueltas. But if I show you the script, el guión, of the series, you would probably understand 80 or 90%. So it's the question is, your ear is not ready yet. Your ear is not discriminating the sounds. And the only way to gain a good listening comprehension ability is to listen 1,000 hours, I'm sorry, to listen to the language in question for 1,000 hours. And finally, when I got to Spain, when I came to Madrid in August 1972, it took me 7 months, probably until February or March 1973, to really say, I understand people well. Now I understand well. So I passed from 10% to 95% for 7 months, in 7 months living here in Madrid. But during those 7 months, I probably wasn't directly listening to people speaking to me or directly watching television for more than 100 hours. However, there were an additional 1,000 hours in which my ear was capturing the music of the language, the noise of the language, in the restaurants, in the underground, el metro, in the underground, in the bus, walking down the streets, walking in the streets of Madrid, just hearing people. Oye, tú, blah, blah, blah. And finally, it began to caress my ear, the sound of the language, so much that by 7 months living here, I was able to understand 95%. However, I wasn't able to understand in the movies, in the cinema. It took me 3 years to gain a good, effective listening comprehension in the movies, which is important to know because if you want to improve your English, listening comprehension is the priority. It should always be your priority. But I don't recommend watching movies nor television series because they are more difficult than real life. On a scale of 1 to 100, on a scale, en una escala del 1 al 100, in listening comprehension difficulty, understanding difficulty, your English teacher is difficulty factor 10 out of 100, which means it's very easy to understand your English teacher. Like it's very easy to understand me now, because I'm an English teacher. I know how to speak English eloquently in such a way that you can understand me. So, an English teacher on a scale of 1 to 100 in difficulty of understanding, the English teacher's difficulty factor 10. In real life, personal or professional, in real life, it's difficulty factor 40. So it is 4 times more difficult to understand real people in real situations than to understand unreal people like English teachers. So never judge your listening comprehension ability by your ability to understand your teacher. English teachers, all English teachers develop una especie de deformación profesional. After teaching English for 1 year, the teacher begins to adopt a different style of speech in class. Higher resolution, less local accent, and the teacher unconsciously chooses vocabulary that is accessible to the student. The teacher says, I'm angry. The teacher doesn't say, I'm pissed off or mad or I'm going to blow my top. We say, I'm angry. So we use the standard vocabulary in class. So don't judge your listening comprehension skills by your ability to understand your teacher. because in real life it's 4 times more difficult, and in the movies, 10 times. To understand in the cinema, or to understand television series like Friends, for example, is it difficulty factor 100. So movies and TV series are more difficult than real life, more than double. So don't judge. I don't recommend you watch movies to improve your English. I recommend you go to YouTube and watch interviews or instructionals or tutorials or anything. You can find on YouTube, you can find a billion opportunities. You can listen to a philosopher speaking in English. You can listen to an interview with Paul McCartney. You can listen to a priest giving the mass in English. You can listen to anybody. You can listen to Elvis Presley speaking to a group of people, and you can listen, and it's very, very effective. But getting back to my first 7 months, I managed to go from 10% understanding to almost 100%. Yes, but not in the movies. And during that time, I traveled a lot, too. Yeah, I traveled. I traveled a lot, but I always traveled with a girl because we traveled by hitchhiking. Hitchhiking, to hitchhike is hacer otro stop. Hike, escrito hike, con H aspirada, hike. Como bike, como like, a mí me gusta, I like, escrito like, por eso es con H, hike. To hike. To hike is hacer marchas en el campo, como esparcimiento or for exercise. You go hiking. Hitch. It means enganche, como el enganche de un remolque. Coche con remolque, con un enganche. That's a hitch. Now, to hitchhike is ir andando por la carretera, enganchándose uno con coches que pasan. So we say hitchhike. We don't say autostop in English. It's an English expression, autostop, but it's a European invention. It's not a British or American invention. Hitchhiking. And I spent the first year I was in Spain, the academic year, I spent it hitchhiking all over the country. I went to Galicia. I went to Valencia. I went to the Basque Country. I went to Burgos. I went to Andalusia. I went to Portugal, to Lisbon. I went to Barcelona and Zaragoza. I went to Tangier, crossing the Strait of Gibraltar on a ferry. I went to many different places. And I'm going to take a break in a few seconds, but I'll come back and talk a bit about these things. But the experience in Madrid was very positive. And as I said in previous programs, the last week and the week before, Madrid is an acquired taste. It's not an immediate taste. Madrid is one of the best cities in the world, in my opinion. But it's an acquired taste, and you need to live here for a certain amount of years to begin to appreciate Madrid and to see the charm and the attractiveness of this city. I'll be back.
Stage Company España presenta Come From Away, el musical de Broadway que triunfa en el mundo. Un musical basado en hechos reales que celebra lo mejor de la humanidad y te lleva a un lugar del que nunca querrás volver. Solo en Madrid, Teatro Marquina. Entradas en comefromawaymusical.es.
Nuevo concesionario Fiat en la zona norte de Madrid. Estamos en Tres Cantos, Avenida de los Artesanos 22. Les esperamos. Grupo Álvaro Villacañas.
Onda Madrid te informa.
De 6 a 10 de la mañana, Javier Fernández Mardomingo te cuenta todo lo que necesitas saber para comenzar el día.
Elia Fernández, en las noticias de las 2, te informa de todo lo que está ocurriendo en ese momento.
Jesús Clemente Rubio, de 7 de la tarde a 12 de la noche, cierra el día analizando lo que ha pasado y lo que pasará el día siguiente.
Además, boletines horarios durante todo el día.
Onda Madrid, servicios informativos, la noticia cerca de ti.
Restaurante J, cocina vasca, un referente de buena mesa en Chamberí, con la sencillez y honestidad de la cocina de siempre, donde comer bien, sin tontunas, con familia, amigos, tu cuadrilla, verduras, guisos de temporada y pescados salvajes al centro de la mesa. Restaurante J, una cocina para siempre, a 50 metros de la Glorieta de Bilbao. Reserva y disfruta.
Los soportales y balconadas de la Plaza de Segovia de Navalcarnero. El majestuoso castillo de Manzanares el Real, rodeado de enclaves naturales increíbles como la Pedriza. El castillo de la Coracera de San Martín de Valdeiglesias. Sus playas en el pantano.
Imposible contarte en tan poco tiempo todo lo que puedes descubrir en las villas de Madrid. El mejor estilo de vida del mundo. Comunidad de Madrid.
En Royal Home vendemos tu casa sin sorpresas. Nos encargamos de todo y te regalamos el vaciado. Confía en Royal Home, tu inmobiliaria. Encuéntranos en royalhome.es.
Conéctate a la nueva teleasistencia avanzada de la Comunidad de Madrid. Mejorará tu autonomía desde la comodidad de tu hogar, previniendo la soledad y el sedentarismo. Además, contarás con asistencia remota y presencial cuando lo necesites. Llama al 012 Dependencia y conéctate a la seguridad de estar tranquilo. Proyecto financiado por la Unión Europea, Next Generation, Plan de Recuperación, Gobierno de España, Comunidad de Madrid.
Hello, welcome back. Okay, we're back for our last segment. We have maybe 15 minutes for our last segment, and I'm going to continue talking about Madrid, but I'm talking about my very first year. My first year, pero ¿por qué he dicho very first? Porque son 50 años que llevo aquí. El primerísimo año. El primer año is my first year. My first year in Madrid. Pero si digo el primero, pero primero, ¿eh? Primerísimo año, enfatizando un poco, se dice very first. And I traveled a lot during that year. During the week, I had class. But if I remember right, si mal no recuerdo, if I remember right, es curioso, en español soléis decir si no recuerdo mal o si mal no recuerdo. Siempre lo negativo primero. En inglés, Dios, si recuerdo bien, we're more positive. Come on. It's funny about el piensa mal y acertarás. Contra la fortuna no hay arte alguna, más vale malo conocido que bueno por conocer. Fía, fía, pero solo en Dios y en Santa María. Hay muchos refranes que recomiendo la desconfianza o lo negativo, pesimismo. It's interesting about Spanish people. Me ha pasado muchas veces. Bueno, muchas no, quizás 5 veces. Maybe 5 times. I said, Manolo, no seas tan pesimista. Mi amigo Manolo. Manolo me responde, hombre, yo no soy pesimista, soy realista. And I get irritated with that because, ¿cómo que realista? Yo soy realista y soy optimista. The optimist, I'm an optimist by nature. I'm an optimist by nature. I'm a very optimistic person. But I'm a realist as well. You see, pessimism doesn't have the right to accompany realism. Realism is what is real. And for me, what is real is cool. Mola is why. Is cool. You know, to go out to Madrid and you see people sitting on the terraces having drinks or having tapas, it's real. Eso es realismo puro. Costumbrismo madrileño, you say. Or las primeras nevadas que visten la Sierra de Guadarrama. And you drive from Madrid to Segovia and you see, wow, look, it's beautiful. Now that's real. Eso es realismo puro. That's realism. So, you see, I'm very optimistic. So every year, my 50 years here have been good years. And my 21 years in the States were good years as well. And I'm still at my old age, con esta edad que tengo, I'm still talking to you, you're here on Onda Madrid, and talking to you about Madrid. Why not? Porque no, mola. Why not? It's cool. It's cool. It's fun. Why not? I'm not going to get rich doing this. And I don't need the money. So I do it just for the el amor al arte, just because I want to. I do it because I want to. I do it because I like to. I don't do this radio show because I have to or because I need to. Fijaos, digo, want to, like to, need to, have to. Yo hago este programa de radio porque quiero. I do this radio show because I want to. Y el tú que pinta ahí. Porque no paras con el want. Because I want. Porque no se puede. Because I want to do the program. ¿Se entiende? Hago este programa porque quiero hacer este programa. Es redundante repetir al final hacer este programa. Y también en inglés. I want to do this I do this program because I want to do this program. Entonces cortamos el final también en inglés, pero dejando la partícula to ahí colgado. I do this program because I want to. O sea, hago este programa porque quiero. I do this program because I like to. Porque aprecio hacerlo, valoro, porque me gusta. I don't do this program because I have to. Porque no lo hago porque tenga que hacerlo. And I don't do this program because I need to. I do it because I want to. So it's an attitude about life. And during those first, during that first year in Madrid, from mid-August 1972 to mid-June, from mid-August 1972 to mid-August 1973, I traveled a lot around Spain. And if I remember right, our classes were Monday to Thursday, which means we had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to travel. And we traveled by hitchhiking, I repeat, haciendo autostop. And I always traveled with a girl because it was very difficult to hitchhike alone because the cars and the trucks didn't stop for a single male. Varón solo. But when they saw a pretty girl with me, and they stopped. I never had a problem, you see, truck drivers especially. And as I said, I went to Galicia, the Basque Country, Valencia, Andalusia, Barcelona again. And I went to Tangier, crossing the Strait of Gibraltar. And I went to Lisbon in Portugal. And to Badajoz, Elvas, etc., all these places. And it was fun. And I'm not going to tell you about all of my trips, because the subject is Madrid. It's not La Coruña or Bilbao or Burgos. But I'm going to tell you a few anecdotes about this. The very first trip I took was with a girl by the name of Lena, a fellow student, compañera de clase, a fellow classmate. And we went to Valencia, okay? And then we went from Valencia to Sueca because there was a festival, el festival anual, la fiesta anual in Sueca. But we went to Valencia and we took a taxi. No, perdón, nada. We took the metro, the underground, to Metro Conde de Casal. And from there, we walked across the M30. Cruzamos el M30 en el puente. However, the M30 did not exist at that time. La Hondonada sí, pero no la, en las calzadas, no. So we crossed. And on the opposite side, we waited. I showed my thumb, el pulgar, the autostopista, as a hitchhiker. And immediately a truck stopped. Of course, Lena was a very attractive girl. A truck stopped, and Lena and I got into the truck. And he said, ¿A dónde van? ¿O a dónde vais? Said, we're going to Valencia. He said, yo también. So we were very lucky. So we spent 4 hours, I think, in his truck. Not three, four and a half hours driving to Valencia. But at the very beginning, the first thing to, I wanted to break the ice, romper el hielo. You know, so I'm a good social person. I can social, I like to be alone and I like solitude. But if it's, when it's necessary, I'm good at social activities. And so immediately I struck up a conversation with him. And so I decided to ask him about his truck, if he gave his truck a name. Because I thought, well, seguro que si es su camión, le llamará un nombre, a lo mejor su novia, Doris, Hortensia, Juanita. And so I asked him, have you given your truck a name? And he said, sí. No, sí, mi nombre, el nombre de mi camión. He said, the winged horse. He said, Pegaso. And I thought, wow, Pegaso. That's cool. He calls his truck Pegaso, the majestic winged horse from Greek mythology. El majestuoso caballo alado de la mitología griega. I thought, ¿y este camionero? This truck driver? He's much more sophisticated than I thought. Giving the name of his truck to a mythological creature, a mythological figure. I was impressed. Of course, maybe 1 month or 2 months later, I realized that practically every truck in Spain was Pegaso, El Fabricante Nacional, Iveco Pegaso. And so I realized, oh, okay, that truck driver hadn't given his truck a name. He simply told me the brand, the make, la marca, the make of the truck, Pegaso. But nevertheless, he was a nice guy and he took us to Valencia. Another interesting anecdote was I was with Sharon, another girl, and we were hitchhiking in, Sara, otra. We were hitchhiking in Galicia. And I remember we were in Orense Capital and we wanted to go to Vigo. And so we were on the outskirts. We were on the highway from Orense to Vigo, and a man stopped. I got into the front seat. Sarah got into the back seat. And again, I struck up a conversation. And he was a shy man, very reserved. But he was a pleasant person, but very reserved. And I asked him what he did for a living. ¿Qué se dedica? What do you do for a living? And he was evasivo. He didn't answer the question. So I realized that perhaps he didn't want to tell me. And so I didn't push the subject. But we had a very nice conversation for about an hour and a half. Era carreteras más estrechas en aquel entonces. Between Vigo and La Coruña. Orense and Vigo. And he took us all the way down to the port, because Vigo is a very hilly town, all the way down to the port. And he had enjoyed very much the time. And when I was getting out of the car, he touched my arm. He said in Spanish, por cierto, soy miembro de la policía secreta. So he revealed his, this is during the Franco period, of course. He revealed his job. And that's just one more anecdote. I'll tell more maybe next week, but I have to go now. It's been a pleasure, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And I'll be back next Sunday.